the second chapter through 12. It begins, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the territory of Judea during the rule of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east, and we've come to honor him." When King Herod heard this, he was troubled, and everyone in Jerusalem was troubled with him. He gathered all the chief priests and all the legal experts and asked them where the Christ was to be born. They said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what the prophet wrote, 'You Bethlehem, land of Judah, by no means are you least among the rulers of Judah, because from you will come one who governs, who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and found out from them the time when the star had first appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you found him, report to me so that I too may go and honor him." When they heard the king, they went, and look, the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother. Falling to their knees, they honored him. They opened their treasure chest and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Because they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they went back to their own country by another route. Here ends the reading of the gospel. Let's take a moment and pray. Gracious God, the words that were presented before us, may they offer us some guidance in the week ahead. May they give us a level of maturity and understanding that knowing that there's searching going on for new life and something better. As that star appeared, we ask that you illumine our lives and you give us the hope that light deserves. In your holy name we pray. Amen. As you heard me say, it is Epiphany Sunday. Why? What is the meaning? Epiphany means this. Wow, I just realized something I had never thought of before. I've just had an epiphany. In other words, it is a revelation. It is a moment of insight. It is when everything around you was muddied and now it is clear. Now on the Christian side of things, it's a bit different. An epiphany is a divine manifestation, one that happens during human history. And that is what is happening today in our gospel lesson from Matthew. The Magi, they had an experience. But before I get into all of that, let's talk about a little bit about who these Magi were. When you think of Magi, what comes to your mind? I'm sure the answer to that question has been influenced by your many years of children's Christmas plays. Kids in bathrobes, Burger King crowns, looking as stoic as they can, carrying these stage props of fancy-looking boxes and bottles. Or maybe you're one of those who get those Christmas cards with the silhouette of three Magi riding camels across the night sky. Or as you drive down the road and look at the nativity scenes, you see those three Magi rubbing elbows with baby Jesus and the animals. But here is the cold, hard truth. We know very little about these men. Some scholars claim they weren't even kings. Others say that there being three of them isn't necessarily the right number. Then there are some who say they never came on the night of Jesus' birth, nor was it 12 days later. And here is a bit more information. They weren't Jewish. They were Gentiles, Many claim they were astrologers and something in the sky alerted them to a massive change. And that something was a new star, telling them of a new change and a new birth. So what did they do? They packed up their things and they went on a journey to follow this star and to find some truth. This is why they studied the stars in the first place. The relevance to this analogy might fit or it might not. Most cars today have satellite radio. I've had this in my car for many years. You can drive and drive and never have to change or go searching for a radio station. And the stations are genre specific. But early on in like Sirius's day, if the sky was cloudy or if it was raining, the reception would be a little bit spotty. Even today, driving through towns or even next to some tall pines that shade the road, you might lose signal for just a bit. I can tell you of a few places where this takes place in northern Minnesota, but there is one spot where you think, boy, how is this radio still working? And that spot is the I-94 tunnel in Minneapolis. I drive through there and I have clear, uninterrupted radio. But when I drive through downtown Bemidji, there is this one building that is two floors and I lose reception. It's funny how technology works when you least expect it. The reality is this, that we all live here in rural Minnesota. Our lives are not influenced by big city lights, but rather yard lights. We get to see the stars, we get to see the big open sky, and this influences us. In some cases, it's almost breathtaking. And it's in these moments that I hope it brings you closer to God, because it does for me. The night sky is there reminding us just how vast the universe is. It is there reminding us of the mystery which surrounds us. It is there for another purpose, making us wonder what all of it means. A couple of weeks ago, you heard me talk a little bit about the lack of Christmas lights. But lately, I've been noticing more. Maybe it's my mood, maybe it's me trying to escape the realities. Who knows? A lot of windshield time. But what I'm seeing is this. The light, it's all artificial. And because of that, it sometimes causes us to forget about God. I'm sorry. We spend more time on human things rather than godly things. It causes us to forget what day it is. And if you have that last week, it was on every news channel going, well, 'tis the season of forgetting what day it is. I guess I didn't forget. I think about the ancient worlds though. They didn't have bright LED lights. Their streets and intersections weren't lit up. They didn't walk through their door and flip on a light switch or have motion-activated lights to illuminate their front yards. No, they had candles. And maybe because of this, it caused them to think more, to think about who God was. Sorry. To think about what God was willing and doing for them. Maybe, simply, They may have been in touch with the divine more than we are today. But then here we are, looking at this group of astrologers, these magi, who made this drastic decision to put their lives behind them. And for the next 2 years, travel across the continent just to find this new king and one who was Jewish. If we go back in history around the time that Jesus was born, rumor is there was this strange feeling in the air. This feeling was like an expectation about the coming of a king. It was written about in Roman history. The Magi experienced it. And those rumors, it caused the Magi to look into the sky. And they said this, "Let's go for it." So they set off to find this king. There's nothing better than a great metaphor. And that is what the Magi give us today. They went to find Jesus. This group of outsiders, this group of foreigners, this group of searchers. What a great metaphor for all the people of faith. Because when you think about this group, they are just like us. We are all on this journey. We are all on this journey together, and we are all doing it for the same purpose, to find Jesus, to worship him, and to make him known. From the very beginning, we all have some hankering for something. And I'm guessing that hankering is for God. And I say that because we are all looking for the next big thing. We are looking for the next big deal. We want that perfect person. We want the ultimate experience. And we tell ourselves that when we see it, that yes, I want it. That is great. And then God says, "You are almost there. Keep coming. It is not the material things you want. Rather, it's me." There's this quote from Pascal that says this: "There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every person, and it can never be filled by any created thing. It can only be filled by God, made known through Jesus Christ." And that statement is ever so true. And because of the artificial light, we get off track. But still, God continues to exist. And because we long for something more, God uses that longing to bring us closer to the God we were created to be in a relationship with. Throughout Scripture, we could see many instances of Jesus reaching out to the Gentiles. And I think this is important to touch on in my message today. There was this demon-possessed man in the Gentile territory. There was this widow whose son had died. There was this Roman soldier who sat at the foot of the cross of Jesus. And then there was this other story of the Good Samaritan. And that parable, that honors a person whose people were despised by the Jews. And one thing that we can't forget about in this whole story is this, that the Magi had no clue about the Jewish scripture. They had no idea about Micah's prophecy for the Messiah being born in Bethlehem. But there is something they probably did know, and that was about Herod and how he rebuilt this beautiful temple, this magnificent temple, because it was known throughout the world, and yet the Magi still came. They were on a quest, one to find this newborn king of the Jews, a journey that brought them right to the center of it all, Jerusalem. I'm sure they had an entourage, the gifts were extravagant, and they were brave. So brave, they went right to Herod and asked him a question: "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews?" And that statement struck fear into Herod. Herod was paranoid, we all know that. He was obsessed with power. He killed his wife and son because he thought they were plotting against him. And then this group of men show up asking about this new king. So what did Herod do? He called together all the religious scholars and asked them where the Messiah was to be born. They replied, in Bethlehem in Judea, for it was what the prophets had written. And when they arrived in Bethlehem, they realized that this was a place the star was leading them, and they were filled with joy, and they bowed down and worshiped. They humbly gave him the gifts they carried for hundreds of miles, all to this toddler. You know what the most important part in that whole story is? Humility. One of the most important parts of our journey to find God. Throughout the gospel, Jesus mentions humility as much as he mentions love. And there is a purpose behind it. Because in order for us to love, we must humble ourselves before the one we love. We need to learn to get out of the way. We need to learn to forget about self and give everything to Jesus. We must be willing to serve others. We must not use evil to repay evil. We must surround ourselves with all people. Friends, this is what it means to follow Christ. This is what it means to be a disciple. This is what it means to be a person who loves God. This is what it means to love others. And I know how hard it is. I know to humble oneself isn't easy. There is greed. There is selfishness. There are temptations always pulling you away. And that is why we are here today. Not just to worship, but to be with each other. We cannot let the artificial light pull us away. We are here to remind ourselves of the true light, the light that can only be found in Jesus. The Magi. You know, they were smart men. After they bowed before Jesus, after they had given him their gifts, they went to sleep. We like to hear these stories, right? They went to sleep. As they slept, they were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. So they went by another route. And what is the message here? It is simply this, that when we give our hearts to Jesus, we also go home by another route. And because of that, our lives are completely changed forever. How many of you have had your route changed? How many of you are willing to live a life of humility? How many of you are willing to give it all to Christ this new year? Let's be like the Magi. Let's humbly bow before Jesus. And let's rise up and serve him faithfully. We all need a Savior. And we all need Jesus. The world made flesh, the non-artificial light of the world.